freedom is precisely what must be destroyed if this is to be turned into a fundamentally different country to suit Obama's vision of the country and of himself.
Look, folks, there comes a time when it's time to stop fiddling while America burns.
That's right. Woo!
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
And every time they mess with it, they make it worse.
What they are trying to do is create an America very unlike the America that has existed for centuries.
And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
This is KLZ Freedom 560 with your host, Ken Clark.
As many of you are aware, we have a terrific event that's coming up. It's not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, and it is the Western Conservative Summit. It is the conservative event of the year for Denver, Colorado, and the Western states, and it's going to be an awful lot of fun. KLZ will be a very big part of it. I'm going to be broadcasting live, as will all of the Liberty lineup from KLZ. It's going to be terrific. So we've been trying to get as many of the speakers that are going to be presenting at the Western Conservative Summit on with us as often as we can. So I am very pleased to have Rachel Campos Duffy on the air with us right now. She is a frequent guest on Outnumbered Fox News. She has a book out called Stay at Home, Stay Happy that was published in 2009. Rachel, welcome to Freedom 560.
Thank you. I also happen to be the national spokesperson for the Libre Initiative, which is a right-of-center, free market, liberty organization geared towards Hispanics.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because that is going to be part of what you're going to be presenting on next weekend, correct?
Absolutely. It's an area that we don't hear a lot about, and that's why we're, I think, doing what we're doing, and I think we're really effective at it, and that is really educating Hispanics, and we know why they come here. They come here for opportunity. They come here for the American dream. And we at Libre believe that the best way to achieve that is through limited government. Entrepreneurship, hard work, self-reliance, those have always been the keys to achieving the American dream. And we want to remind Hispanics of why they come and to help us support those policies.
Well,
those ideas.
And I think that makes a lot of sense, because what you're looking for is the freedom to do that which you will. And the American dream is different for everyone. But you have to have the freedom to go out and do what you choose in order to achieve it. Yes?
Absolutely. But you look at Hispanics. I mean, they are the most entrepreneurial demographic in America. They start businesses at more than three times the rate of the average American. These are people who want to have their own business. They want freedom. They want liberty. They want the freedom to pass their wealth onto their children once they do succeed. Our message is one that really resonates within it. And let me tell you, what we found at Libre is that there is not a rejection of conservative ideas, free market ideas in the Hispanic community. What there's been is generations of absence of those ideas in those communities. So we're taking an approach. We're actually stealing a page right out of the progressive community organization playbook. We are embedding in these communities. We don't lead. This is not a campaign, 1 year, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months program. We are a permanent presence now in these organizations. And we're offering services just like the progressive community organizers do, but instead of signing people up for more programs that make them more dependent on government, what we're doing is offering services that will empower them to be free. So we're offering English language courses in states where they're allowed to have a driver's license, whether they're citizens or not. We're helping Hispanics pass those tests so they can drive. We're helping people with school choice initiatives, because we know that Hispanics care about education and understand that that's the key to achieving the American dream. So we're all about choice and education, and we're helping Hispanics fight for that. So we're doing all kinds of stuff, and we're embedding, and we're doing exactly what the progressives are doing, and it's working. If you look at the Washington Post, there was an article not long ago that we are the organization that liberals fear the most.
You know, I bet you are terribly proud of that, because I would be if I were you. And I think, yeah, I mean, if you are the organization that liberals fear the most, that means you're out there and you're doing it right.
That's right. We're really doing, I mean, I think before, what Hispanic outreach for conservatives, especially if you looked at some of the initiatives that the Republicans themselves were putting out, they were just, we'll have a conference, we'll collect a few names, invite the same Beltway folks. This is completely different. We are in states where there are lots of Hispanics. We're now in 8 states, moving on to 13. And like I said, we're embedding, we're hiring from within those communities, and we're really making a difference. And I encourage everyone to go to our website, look at what we're doing. Look at our Share the Dream videos, where we highlight in beautiful videos different Hispanics of different ages and backgrounds and how they achieve the American dream. These are the stories that inspire Hispanics and remind them of why they risk so much to come to this country.
Well, and they do, and they a lot of people do risk an awful lot to come here. But once they get here, what they are looking for is a better life for themselves and their families. And Rachel, I'm gonna make a statement, see if you agree with it. I believe that it is in every human's DNA that they yearn to be free. Now, not everybody understands that. If you're coming from a third world country, especially if you're in the Middle East, you don't really get that. But I believe that every human wants to be free. And the brilliance of the United States was that it was founded by a document that allowed every man or woman to own their own production. They could go out and do whatever they wanted, assuming they're not harming anybody else. And that is the American dream. Do I still have her?
Yes, you're absolutely right. I think that desire for freedom is written on our hearts. And I think when we see our country moving in a different direction, when we see crony capitalism taking over, this is something Hispanics understand. They leave countries that are, whether they're centralized government or so much corruption and that inability to make it unless you're well-connected with somebody in the government, they understand how limiting that is. They want freedom. They want a transparent government, and they don't want the government picking winners and losers. They understand that intuitively.
You know, it's funny because I know a lot of first-generation immigrants from different countries, whether it's India, whether it's China, doesn't matter where they're from, Mexico, El Salvador, it doesn't matter. Even if they're here from, you know, it just doesn't matter. But when people get here and they're first-generation immigrants, why is it, Rachel, that these first-generation immigrants seem to understand the Constitution and freedom better than a lot of people that are born here?
It's because they have such a very recent memory of what it's like to not have the things we have here. All the things we take for granted, they're able to appreciate at a better level. And can I just say this? This is what is so important for our movement. Those people that you're describing, those are the people that renew America. And as a movement, we really need to make sure that we are not in any way making it look like we don't welcome them. We need to welcome people like that. They remind us of why we're so lucky to be American, and they renew that work ethic. They remind us of all of those things that we love about this country. So as a movement, we need to welcome these people. And I think that's a problem that we have as a movement. We're not doing enough. We're somehow sending the wrong message.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of issues with our immigration system. I really don't want to get into that, and that's not going to be.
I don't either. But can I just say, you know, we've lost Asian Americans.
Oh, I know.
In the last election, they think for whatever we're doing, and we I don't want to discuss the policies, but there's something that our movement is doing that's making them feel like we don't want them, and we got to think about that.
Well, and we do need to think about that, and there are a lot of changes that need to be made. But the point is, though, that what you guys are doing at the Libre Initiative is pursuing the American dream and showing people how to do that, right?
Absolutely. We're giving them tools. Like I said, whether it's English language classes, around tax time, we're partnering with H&R Block, helping them figure out how to do their taxes. These are things that empower people. Instead of creating more dependency, we're allowing them to see, hey, you have what it takes. You don't have to take the scraps off the government table. You have what it takes to make it in this country, because this country is designed for people who work hard, and you can do it. And I think this is what Obama has been so successful at. There was an article just yesterday that came out in the Atlantic Monthly. I mean, teenagers today don't believe in the American dream, don't believe they can make it. This is what Obama wants. He wants us to believe the dream is dead, that it's rigged, and that only well-connected people can access it. It's a lie. The dream, believe it or not, is still alive, and we have to keep working towards making sure that it stays alive for everybody, especially our young people.
You know, let's talk a little bit more about that on the other side, and I also want you to tease what you're going to be talking about at the Western Conservative Summit, because that is coming up in less than 2 weeks, and Rachel Campos Duffy will be a speaker, a presenter at the Western Conservative Summit. She is the national spokesperson for the Libre Initiative. She has a book out called Stay Home, Stay Happy. She is also a frequent member of Outnumbered, which is a Fox News program. So, Rachel, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll take it up right there. And I'm back. This is Freedom 560. I'm your host, Ken Clark. And we've been talking a lot about this on KLZ 560. We've been talking about the Western Conservative Summit. There is a terrific lineup of speakers and people that are going to be talking about there. Everybody who's running for president, well, almost everybody is going to be there. And that field is getting huge. It's becoming ridiculous. But that being said, there are a lot of other folks that aren't running for president that have a lot to say. One in particular, Rachel Campos Duffy, is on the air with me right now. She is the national spokesperson for the Libre Initiative. She's an author, has a book out published in 2009, Stay at Home, Stay Happy. She's also a frequent guest on Fox News, the program Outnumbered. She's written for pretty much everyone. I think, Rachel, I'm sorry, I'm looking through this thing. I don't know that there's many people you haven't written for.
I should be writing more.
Shouldn't we all? But you're going to be talking about, you're going to be talking at the Western Conservative Summit. So I want you to tease my listeners. Tell them why they should buy tickets and come see you speak.
Well, you should come to the Western Summit because there is truly a phenomenal lineup of speakers. I'm going to be speaking at a segment that's dedicated to or geared towards Hispanics. In fact, I'll be speaking in Spanish right before a very popular Christian singer is going to be singing there as well. So I'll be there. I'll be speaking. And I'm going to be talking about the American dream because I think that's what we all want.
You know, I like that. That's going to be important because Terrence and I were talking in the, and you had mentioned this earlier at the very end of the last segment. It's being beat out of our children that you cannot make it on your own. You have to rely on the government, and the government dependency is ever increasing. Now, I frame it this way, and I'm talking about the public sector, not inside the Beltway. There are two segments of the public sector, and both sides are slaves. And Rachel, I want to see if you agree with this statement as well. On one hand, you have the dependency class that are dependent upon the government for their living. They are slaves to the state in the form of dependency. The other side are indentured servants. They are slaves to the state in the form of taxation. What say you?
I tell you, it's pretty accurate. And can I say that what you're talking about, these young people that don't believe in the American dream or feel like they need the government, that's definitely one side of it. The other is, they kind of give up. I mean, I have nieces and nephews that go, I can't go to college. They don't see the value of taking on, you know, sure, some of the debt. And believe me, we should be doing something about the cost of education. But there's sort of this giving up on things. And they think that unless your parents can pay all of your college, that it's not worth it. It's not worth it to pursue that dream. And I mean, I took out student loans. I took the risk. I worked through college. No one made it easy for me. We did it on our own, and I think it's not just that we're making people more dependent on government. We're losing some of that optimism that's always been part of that American spirit, and we need a leader who will bring that back. We need a leader who will remind us of who we are as a nation, and I think that's the change we've been seeing over the last 8 years or more.
Well, I think you're right. And I think that you're right about another thing. And you had mentioned in the last segment that the Libre Initiative is doing that by going into communities and not pitching tent, but building a building. And they're staying there and they're getting involved and they're showing people what the American dream is all about and how to achieve it. Now, you're taking a page out of the progressive rule book, but at the same time, they do it so much better than conservatives do that you have to sometimes, rather than reinvent the wheel, mimic what works. Just teach different principles, Rachel.
I agree. And, you know, the other thing that we have to do, because we ultimately, our conservative policies are about helping people succeed, lifting people out of poverty, lifting people, you know, into, you know, instead of making them comfortable in their poverty, lifting them out of poverty, helping them to achieve their dreams and showing that we care. And I think in a lot of ways, what the other side has done better than us is they act like they care more. They care about you. They care about your mom. They care about your dad. They care about your kids. Now, in the end, it seems like whatever they're selling doesn't help. I mean, look at minority. Look, there's 2.5 million more Hispanics living in poverty today than there was in 2008. Black unemployment's up. Minority home ownership is down. We have kids, young kids in the prime of their lives, moving back into their childhood bedrooms, into their parents' homes, you know, postponing the independence and prosperity that all of us had in our 20s, you know, started to have in our 20s. All of this is happening, and we can see that their policies don't work. Our policies work, but we also need to show the heart. We need to show that we're not just doing this for some philosophical, you know, free market ideology. This is about helping people. This is about making people's lives better, and we have to do a better job of not coming out with charts and graphs about debt and all those things, which we know are right. I mean, I studied economics. I get it. But we need to show a little more heart.
Well, and that's interesting. And so I want you to expand upon that. How do you do that? Because I'm a stats guy. I mean, I've got a finance degree, and that's what I love to talk. I love to throw out numbers, and I've been talking economy all day long, talking about the debt ceiling that hasn't changed. It hasn't gone up a penny in 90 days, et cetera, et cetera. And the CBO just came out with forecasts that are ugly. I mean, oh, my gosh. So how do you message that?
It's an excellent question. I have a degree in economics as well, and I care about those numbers. My husband happens to be the congressman in Wisconsin 7th District, so he knows all those numbers too. I hear them. I know them. But I don't think people want to see charts and graphs. They want to know how it affects them. So one of the things that we could talk about, we look at the debt that we're passing off to our children. You know, at some point, you know, we're going to have to face the music the way Europe has. And believe me, when we go into austerity, who does it hurt the most? In Europe, it's hurting poor people. The rich people are living fine. So this is about communicating our message to show people how it will affect them, how it affects the poor. Because I think what a lot of people think, I happen to, you know, as I've told you, I'm Mexican-American descent. My father has 15 brothers and sisters, and among them, he is the only one that self-identifies as a conservative. And when I go to those barbecues with my uncles and I ask them, hey, why? Because I look at them, they're all pro-life, hardworking, good family guys. Why are they vote Democrat? Beyond the sort of, you know, because our grandfather did and they came from a union town. The thing they say is they say that the Republican Party is for the rich. And that's the impression we give. And we need to talk more about how our policies help not just the middle class, but also, how do our policies help the poor? Because they do. They do that, but we don't message it there. We don't message it in that way. And so what the other side does, their policies don't work, but they're constantly talking about how much they care. And at some point, people tune everything out, and they just want to know, do you care about me? And I think that's what we're missing.
You know, that is what we're missing. We're also missing something else. We are breeding into our entire society, and it doesn't matter what group you identify with. We are breeding into our society the idea that you are entitled to a living. You are entitled to all these things simply because you breathe air. And that is a problem. We no longer teach the Constitution. We teach a corrupted version of the Constitution. We don't teach that our framers built it for a reason. We teach that our framers were a bunch of slave-owning white guys, and therefore we shouldn't pay attention to it. I mean, that is what is being taught in our schools, and it's wrong. We used to, even when I was in school, which, yes, was 100 years ago, we were taught why the framers built it that way and what freedom actually means. Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, I think about what I grew up on, you know, as a kid. I was, Schoolhouse Rock. I mean, we were learning about how to make a bill and the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. Heck, we were learning about the melting pot. We don't hear about that anymore. We hear about our nation being not a force for good, but imperialists who, you know, are imposing their culture and their economic greed on other countries. I am with you 100% on that. I mean, we have to go back to the basics with our kids. But it's going to be really hard to change an entire education system. And this is where it becomes incumbent on us as parents to go, what are we doing to make sure at least our kids understand what this nation is really about? And that's about personal responsibility. As parents, we cannot simply send our kids to school and expect that they're going to get the kind of information that you and I grew up with. It's not there. And we have to take responsibility for that and make sure that we're supplementing and talking to our kids. All they're learning these days is global warming and, you know, and again, that, you know, multiculturalism, and that, you know, our nation is no better, if not worse, than all others. You need to be talking to your kids when they come home from school and making sure that you're having those conversations where you're actually figuring out what they're getting in school, and you can either reinforce it or challenge it yourself.
You know, I absolutely love that message, and that, because you're a mom, you know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Absolutely. Seven kids. I've got seven, so believe me.
So you got your hands full. I don't have any kids, so it's kind of, you know, I don't talk about that very often simply because I don't get it. And but you are a mom, and so you understand what it means to be involved in your kids' education. You also know firsthand how corrupt our education system is.
Which is why I'm for school choice, which is why this is one of the most, listen, probably, and it's not politically, it's the most incredible issue for Republicans, for conservatives to take up. School choice is so important for exactly the reasons we're talking about. As parents, it's our responsibility to make sure that we're putting our kids in a school that reflects our values, that is the best school for our particular child. This is the human rights issue of our time. We should all be, if you're in whatever community you're in, you should be involved in the school choice movement. You should be doing what you can to help other parents, especially parents who don't have the options of wealthy parents or well-to-do parents to pay tuition and select the school that they want. I mean, it is such a hypocrisy. President Obama, Hillary Clinton, these are people that have stood in the doorway of choice and empowerment for poor parents. And at the same time, they send their own daughters, they send, in the case of Chelsea, to schools that cost more. The tuition is more in 1 year than most Hispanics make in a year.
Rachel, we're up against the heartbreak. I want you to tell my listeners where they can find more about you and the Libre Initiative.
Go to www.thelibreinitiative.org, join our school choice movement, and read up on what we're doing, because we're making a difference in the Hispanic community.
All right. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Thank you for joining me on Freedom 560. Looking forward to the Western Conservative Summit. Now, during the last segment, I had Rachel Campos Duffy on. She's going to be speaking at the Western Conservative Summit, and she is the head of, or she's the national spokesperson, rather, for the Libre Initiative, and we started talking about immigrants. And I know a lot of immigrants, first-generation immigrants. And I know some from China. I know some from pretty much, well, all over the place, Mexico, India. And I've gotten to know them pretty well. One of them has chimed in and wanted to talk about that segment we were doing. Nosh, welcome to Freedom 560.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. And hopefully, I'm hoping Rachel is there to hear what I have to say, too. It is absolutely commendable that immigrant families take responsibility for their families. They train their own. They work hard to come to this country. And let me tell you, as a first-generation immigrant, the American dream is alive and well. Let not anybody else misinform you about that. The American dream, let me tell you, ask any Asian-American, Indian hotel owner, and they will tell you. They came here in the 70s. The entire family bought mom-and-pop motels across the country. They made an existence out of it. Now they're making a living out of it. The second and third generation immigrants are now, or children of immigrants are benefiting from it. And I will tell you about the American dream of those same hotel owners. Be it known that one of those hotel owners and their children graduated, became a doctor, and eventually is a congressman in the United States Congress. My hat's off to people who will train their own kids. The school system does us a disservice. And I think it should be better known that the school system does us a disservice, because they are basically misinforming these kids. And some of them, they don't realize have to go through a tremendous mental conflict with the values shared with them at home, and then contradicting values shared with them in school. They don't seem to realize what they are doing to some of these kids. I have counseled some of these kids myself personally, and I see the traditional training that goes on at home, and it completely contradicts what's being taught in the schools. These people have to have a little bit more responsibility to the kids. Tell them the truth. Tell them the values of this country. Tell them the beauty of this country, not how bad it is. And if it is that bad, you know, those who don't want to be here can leave. There is that freedom we have in America. You have the freedom to leave. But the fact of the matter is, when people outright lie to these kids, it's an aberration for mankind.
Nash,
that's what I have to say.
Nash, thank you. That was, I can't add a thing to that. That was really good stuff. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Freedom 560. And I appreciate all the work you do. That's good stuff. But he's right. We don't teach things the way we used to. I mean, and everybody's got this entitlement mentality. I mean, God, you see some of the videos out there that Caleb Bonham puts on and Waters World and different things like that, and you scratch your head and just kind of question what's really happening. But I did want to dive into, and I don't talk about it a whole heck of a lot because it's awfully early and I know that everybody gets tired of the noise, but in the this week we've had two different presidential candidates announce that they're running for office. One was Jeb Bush. And yeah, and so the idea of a Bush 45 is really scary. We'd have Bush 41, Bush 43, then Bush 45. Anybody else see a problem with that? I do. And I don't, it doesn't matter to me, and I had mentioned this before, whether or not we get Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton, either one of them will be destructive for the United States of America. They will. And the Republican Party, if they choose to try to cram Jeb Bush down our throat, that will be the last election I think the Republican Party will basically be a player. I really do. I just don't see them surviving forcing Jeb Bush down our throats. Now, if there is a toe-to-toe matchup between Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, my money's on Hillary. I think she'll win. I really do. I don't think, just like what we saw with Romney, Obama had been in office for 4 years and Romney couldn't take him out. And there was a reason. He treated him with kid gloves. He didn't talk about the real issues that were going on. I mean, and I like Mitt Romney. I've never met him, I guess. I mean, he looked pretty stiff to me. But Jeb Bush, man, there is so much baggage. And if you go back to the Bush 43 administration, knowing what we know now, originally when Bush was running, I was a big fan. I was a very big fan. And he had Dick Cheney on the ticket. And Dick Cheney's from Wyoming. I grew up in Wyoming. I've met the man several times. He was a friend of my dad's, you know, and this is Wyoming. It's a small town. I mean, there are suburbs in Denver that have more people than the entire state of Wyoming. And, you know, so it's not unusual to know, for my dad to know a guy like Dick Cheney. It's just not unusual because it is. It's a small town. They only have one congressman, for crying out loud, to give you an idea of the population. So moving, taking that into account, and Bush increased the debt. Bush 43 increased the national debt more than any other president in our history up to that time. Now, Obama has done far worse, but God, when you compare Republicans like that, who needs Democrats? I mean, really, who needs Democrats? Bush gave us the largest entitlement increase in a generation, Medicare Part D. I mean, really? So you take a look at Jeb Bush 45, you scratch your head and go, what difference is it going to make? Terrence?
Not much of one at all. And I'm starting to look at politics like that in general, because I was sitting here over while you were talking about the state of the economy in this country. Okay, what Bush did for his 8 years was bad for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Then Barack Obama comes along and what he does is bad for the economy. So I'm looking like neither one of you guys seem to be able to get it right over an extended period of time.
Well, no, that's because Bush 43 was a big government Republican. He was a statist Republican. I remember when I threw up my hands and said I've had it was when Bush said, well, I've got to give up my free market principles in order to save the free market. Make any sense to you?
None whatsoever. And this also kind of goes into the American dream, because you're seeing the government pretty much crush our hopes and dreams every day, except for the extra wealthy, except for the 1%, the private sector. So you see where it could shake a young person's hopes and dreams in this country if they actually caught wind in great detail how you give it to the fans every day?
Well, yeah, and that, but this, you're right. You're right, because you take a look at the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and right now the GOP is working frantically behind the scenes, and by GOP, I mean John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. They're working frantically behind the scenes to figure out how to resurrect this. You had made the comment that how can we, well, go ahead and repeat that. How can, for the last 6 years, we say Obama is the worst president in history? He's horrible. He's bad. He's the devil incarnate. And yet now they're trying to give him all his power?
Now he's buddy-buddy, and he's come up with the best idea since sliced bread. And it just shows you that money is the motivating factor at the end of the day. And the money they're trying to make isn't going to benefit me. It's not going to benefit you. It's not going to benefit the guy who bought the gas station, the corner store worker, owner, or whatever. It's not going to benefit any one of us, the regular America, except for the richest 1%, the people who are invested in those companies. So they say money makes the world go round and it's the root of all evil. Look what they're doing to us. Well, in the name of a dollar.
The reason why this is being pushed so hard is because of those multinational corporations. That's the only thing I can come up with a guy like Ted Cruz, why he would support the TPP. Because he knows if he wants to be president, he needs these major donors, and they're not going to donate to him if he fights the TPP. Follow the money.
Follow the money. And again, that's the carrot on the stick for these guys. I know they get in there and they say, oh, we're going to help this community. We're going to help that community. I'm trying to get America back too. When that's all said and done and you're elected, you get in there and we see that you're lining your pockets and you become a cog in the major system that is, for lack of a better word, oppressing the rest of us.
Well, there was an, I remember, and I can't remember if this is actually true or not, but I remember hearing stories about orientation for the freshman class. And this was acute back in 2010, because that's when we took back control of the House of Representatives. There was an orientation, and they were all told, this is how Washington, D.C. works. This is how you are going to do things if you expect to make it in Washington, D.C. And it was all about that cronyism. It was all about the pay-to-play type of politics that we see now. And they had a full orientation. You get out of line, we're going to smack you down.
Exactly. And that's what I believed has been going on. Like, we've had these discussions off air. I understand when you probably get into politics at first, you really want to help. You really want to make a difference. But when you get to, let's just say you go from the minor leagues to the major leagues, you see that it's a whole different ball game, and you got to go along to get along, or you will not be here for long.
You know, you're absolutely right. Now, when we come back, I'm still going to be talking about the 2016 presidential election, because I want to talk about Donald Trump. He is a very unique candidate in the 2016 presidential election, and we're going to talk about that right after this. Welcome back. Final segment of the afternoon. This is Ken Clark. You're listening to Freedom 560. During the break, I heard an advertisement for Randy Corcoran of Corcoran Law. Randy does the wake-up show on KLZ 560, and he's an attorney. I've used him. I've seen this guy in court. I've seen him in action. He has represented me and some of my interests in the past. And I got to tell you, there is nobody better. I mean, he talks a lot on his show, but then again, he's a talk show host. He's supposed to. But when it comes down to legality and being an attorney, this guy is good. He knows what he's doing. I've been to trial with him. I've been to court with him. He has represented, like I said, me and some of my interests. So I know how good he is. And being a land developer, believe me, I get sued a lot. I have used attorneys in Colorado, Wyoming, you name it. I have been through my share of attorneys. I have been to court more than I care to remember. I've been to the Wyoming Supreme Court twice as the defendant. So I kind of know what I'm talking about when it comes to recommending attorneys. I recommend Randy Corcoran, so that's a good thing. I wanted to get back to the presidential elections coming up. And something that I find very exciting is that Donald Trump threw his hat in the ring. Now, this by no means is an endorsement. Terrence is looking at me going, Ken, did you fall off your bike on the way down here today? What? Why?
What qualifies him to be president?
What qualified Barack Obama, George Bush, Mitt Romney? I mean, what qualifies any of them?
And see, this is where I'm going with this, because if I remember, the name was attached to him that Barack Obama is the celebrity president.
Yeah.
If Barack Obama is the celebrity president, what is the guy who has a show on television going to be?
Well, here, let me see if I can answer that question for you. And this is one of the reasons why I like the idea of a Donald Trump. He is a businessman. The guy's worth $8.7 billion, okay? And he started off working for his father, but he took what his dad did, put it on steroids. He's been all over the world working with business. He has interests all over the world, so he understands international trade. He also is a student of politics. He's been involved in it from afar. This is a guy that has been affected by government policy. So that being said, I think he is probably more qualified than anybody else in the field, because how do you say that just because you were a governor, you're qualified to be president? Just because you were a senator, you're qualified to be president? That makes you a politician. I'm sick to death of politics. I think it's time for a change up. Now, Ross Perot was a different animal because he made all of his billions through government contracts. He got really upset with Bush 41 because Bush 41 canceled some of his government contracts and it hurt him financially. Then that's why we got Bill Clinton. I kid you not, that's what it was about. So let me go through a Politico article, which is the 7 reasons the GOP should fear Donald Trump. Money talks. You don't ever want to piss off a billionaire because he can throw his own billions at the race. He may or may not take donors. We don't know yet, but he can finance the thing out of his own pocket and raise more money than Hillary because he can just write a check. That makes him dangerous. Number 2, expectations. His expectations, everybody thinks he's a buffoon. Everybody thinks he's a joke. So the bar is set very, very low for him. Okay? It's already very low. I mean, look at his hair. I mean, remember Ivana or Devana Trump, whatever, and all that fiasco?
Yeah.
The bar is set very low for him. So he doesn't have to perform very well. And everybody's going to say, man, he's doing better than we thought.
But see, that's the smoke and mirrors that comes with a Donald Trump in this, because let's just say on the off chance that he's moving along here. He's a businessman. What is his foreign policies? I mean, it's going to come down to, like, it's more than just running the country from an economic standpoint.
Well, but his foreign policy is very strong. He knows that our currencies are being manipulated against us by China, by a lot of the Pacific Rim countries that are involved in the TPP. He also knows that Russia uses currency manipulation. OPEC uses oil and currency manipulation against us, and we do nothing to fight back. He knows this because he's involved in international business. That makes him very, very knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than a Scott Walker.
Now, I don't want to be a jerk, but I'd raise my hand and be like, Donald, did you benefit in any of these dealings with foreign companies, you know, while you were doing business with them?
And if he didn't, he'd be a fool.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, but if you benefited from something that you're going to be condemning here, you're kind of looking at you like, well, you didn't have a problem with it when it was working for you.
Well, but it's different when he understands currency manipulation. Therefore, he would use that to his own advantage. That's what any businessman is going to do. So if, in fact, he's done that successfully, to me, that's a feather in his cap because he knows how to take advantage of it.
Well, yeah, I'm a capitalist as well. I'm just saying this is a possible question that could be thrown at him by somebody way more qualified than I am.
Well, based on what he said yesterday, the answer to that question is going to be, absolutely, I benefit from it. Are you kidding? I know how to work the currencies. That's why I should be president, because they're no longer going to be manipulating against our dollar. And so he will not be trying to line his own pockets, but he's going to be putting himself in a different position, which is the leader of the free markets, leader of the United States. Let me go through a couple more of these. And I know you'll agree with this one, Terrence. The front runners are safe and boring. Let's face it, they are.
Very much so.
And he's going to be bringing a lot of flamboyant, yeah, fanfare and flamboyancy to the presidential race. The other one is the Ross Perot precedent, and I think I've already talked about that one, except most people don't understand that Ross Perot made his billions by doing business with the government. And he got pissed off at Bush 41 for canceling some of those contracts. That's why he got in the race. The guy was never serious about it. I believe Trump to be serious this time. Number five, voters like crazy. Trump certainly fits that bill.
Yeah, but how long will his crazy last?
We'll have to wait and see.
Especially with Jeb in the race.
And see, here's one thing that I think is going to be interesting. Because if he's dead serious about doing this, Terrence, then this crazy is not going to be out there that long because he's going to start saying things. He's going to start doing things. I mean, he went to New Hampshire today. Okay. That leads me to believe he's serious. Okay, so if that's in fact the case, he's not going to be doing these sensationalist television shows anymore. He will remove the sensationalist aspect from his campaign and get serious about his plan. Now, he's got a plan that he's already announced. Okay, does anybody else have one?
Well, no.
And so I'm going to go away from this. And so far, he's the one setting the agenda. He's going to keep driving that home. And so that is something to be feared by him. And let's talk about his plan. He's got a 5-point plan, a 5-part strategy. So let me run this by you. Foreign interventions must require cost-sharing plans to reduce U.S. costs and guarantee veterans and their families are protected. Number one, Veterans Affairs. He wants to take care of our veterans. That's good. I like that. Number two, pass legislation to break OPEC's grip on the American prices. He wants to break up OPEC, the oil cartel. That makes sense. What does that mean? More domestic oil and gas production. Okay. You're going to love this. Crack down on China's and other countries' currency manipulation by calculating taxes on imports based on how much a manufacturing country's currency is undervalued. What they do is they undervalue their own currency. That way, their imports look more attractive to our buyers. So if you tax them in the form, that's kind of a tariff, that is our hedge against currency manipulation. He knows how to do this.
Right, but okay, yes, he knows how to do this, but at the same time, from a business standpoint, when you start messing with the big people's money, so what's to stop the oil cartel, you know, air quotations on that, from just throwing all their money at Jeb Bush for him to get Trump out of the way?
Nothing, and they will.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Donald Trump is squeaky clean with already. I think he's revealing too much too soon. Because they've already started to find things wrong with him. You know?
I think actually, though, that if you take a look at this, if this day and age, you want to get that stuff out as fast as you can because it'll go away. I mean, just like the Colorado GOP fiasco that's happening right now. I mean, that's ultimately going to go away. I mean, we're going to be done with this. Nobody's going to remember. And we're going to be moving on. No matter what happens, no matter what the outcome, we're going to be moving on. So I think he's smart to get that out. But he's got a 5-point tax plan. Okay. So, and this is something that I really like. Okay. First, he said that U.S. must repeal the death tax. Yeah. Thank you, God. Farmers, ranchers, businessmen are being taxed to death. When somebody dies, people have to sell their businesses, their farms, their ranches in order to pay the estate tax. That has to go away. That's the death tax. Okay. Smart tax. Then he's going to, you'd lower the tax rate on capital gains and dividends. That creates more investment into the United States. All right. That has to happen. Then he's going to drop the corporate tax rate to zero. We've got the highest corporate tax rate in the industrialized world. The United States does. That has to go away. And this is fourth. This is my favorite. He's going to streamline the taxes, taxes to a fair tax system, what he refers to as a fairer and more simpler income tax. With this, you could get rid of the IRS. Up to $30,000 a year in income, you pay 1%. From $30,000 to $100,000, you pay 5%. From 100,000 to 1 million, you pay 10%. Anybody who makes over $1 million a year pays 15%. IRS, bye-bye, goodbye, no deductions, no loopholes, no nothing. That, to me, is brilliant.
That is a big order. That is a tall order there to undo all that. And you got to, I know it sounds
good.
But
we have to try.
Right. We have to try. But you know me, I believe the machine is too big to undo at this point.
Well, but you get a president in there that's willing to try. I mean, that'll at least give us something to fight for. Give me something to believe in. Give me something to fight for. That is a tax plan I can get behind. Nobody understands the 75,000 pages of the United States tax code. No one. Okay. And every day it gets bigger. Every day it gets bigger. This is good stuff, man. If he can do nothing more than change the narrative, Terrence, that's a good thing.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, for guys who are really big about change going against the government, those guys tend to come up missing every now and then.
Well, we'll see what happens. So far, I'm liking the plan.